listening to First Church Charlotte.
And for all these years, he's been our pastor. This past January or so, we attended his funeral and buried our pastor. And so preaching around the country, I pound into the minds of young men, you must have a pastor.
Amen.
Everybody needs a pastor. Now, I know we talk about mentors, but mentor is not in the Bible, but pastor is. So don't let a mentor try to become your pastor. Paul said, you may have many teachers, but you don't have but one father. And you need to hear the voice of your pastor. So I was preaching somewhere, and this young man, I'd pounded them about having a pastor. So he came up to me, he said, and who's your pastor? And I thought, boy, you caught me in a weak moment here, because my pastor just died. I said, well, I'm praying about it. And after praying about it, I called Bishop David Ams, and I said, would you become my pastor? Because I need a voice. I need a man over me. I need somebody that has authority in my life that I can count on who will be true. And so I look to him as my pastor. And we're thrilled to be here. I'm glad my brother and his wife are here. And Mila and Macy are here. And Statonia's here. Somebody's got to make a living. So Marcus is not here tonight. Somebody's got to pay the bills. And I'll pull one on y'all like Brother Battlestero, my son-in-law, does. When his family comes to visit, he'll talk about his family and he'll say, you know what? These people are just like family. They are just like family. And we're thrilled that they would come over from Hickory and be with us tonight. Turn your attention to the word of the Lord, to the book of Psalm chapter 85. Now, Pastor Elms has given me perfect liberty. Quiet up in here. He's given me perfect liberty tonight to preach whatever I would feel the Lord would say unto us. And I've been thinking about, I always like to preach whatever they ask me to do. If it's a Sunday school meeting, I'm going to preach against children, preach about children. If it's, maybe preach against them too. If it's a youth camp, I'm going to preach to young people. If it's a rest home service, I'll preach to the old folks, you know. If I'm in prison, to the prisoners, I'll preach. Lately, all I got's leaving on my mind or something, you know, whatever. So this is Passion Week. And so I want to come in and stir your hearts and spirits for personal passion relative to your relationship and your walk with Jesus Christ. A lot of folks want him as Savior, but reject him as Lord. He must not only be our Savior, we must crown him the Lord of our lives. And so I will preach what I feel the Lord would have me to address tonight, to challenge. Everybody say challenge. Not to condemn, not to judge, but to challenge. And the mark of, do you want to be a great church? The mark of a great church will always respond to the challenge. They will rise to the occasion to meet the challenge. Am I going to preach tonight to a great church? If I am, clap your hands to the Lord right now. Psalm 85 and verse number 6. Psalm 85 and verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? Everybody say again.
Amen.
It's not a one-time job. He's got to revive us over and over and over. All of us may have progressed, but none of us have arrived. All of us are on a journey, but we're not at the destination. So that's why we must have the Word and the Spirit. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee, that thy people may rejoice in thee. On your Passion Week, I want to preach to you tonight my final address to you on this subject. Now, I will need your help because I'm going to be challenging. I want to preach to you on a simple subject, the true definition of revival. The true definition of revival. Put your Bibles down and give the Lord a great hand clap, and you may be seated. The message I bring to you tonight is the result of both personal observation and the quickening of the Spirit while in prayer. I enjoy a high privileged opportunity far beyond my deserving, in that I am privileged to see the United Pentecostal Church from the north to the south, the east to the west. I see it in the largest places, and I see it also in some of the smallest of places. So I consider that I have my finger on the pulse of this church nationally, because I'm not locked to a local situation. I see it all over the place by my privileged opportunity to travel and to preach. Anybody that preaches the word will have to understand how amazing it is when the Spirit turns the light on the unobserved, on the overlooked, and suddenly it becomes glaringly obvious. Any preacher know what I'm talking about? A term they use today is the elephant in the room. I am going to address what I feel to be the elephant in the room. Due to our emphasis, focus, and passion on developing people-friendly churches, great outreaches, and better marketing of our church, I speak as a spokesman for the United Pentecostal Church, we have enjoyed unprecedented success and progress. More people are receiving the Holy Ghost in our churches today than in any other so-called denomination on earth. Now, I would like a little better response on that point right there. I'm not carrying a security blanket, and I'm not whistling in the dark. It is a documented fact that more people are receiving the Holy Ghost in the United Pentecostal Church than any other so-called religious organization on earth. Our churches are larger than they have ever been. Our buildings are magnificent. And our programs are second to none. Clap your hands that you got to be in the church at such a time as this. Bishop Elms and I, upon my request, went over to Howie Circle, walked into that little church, took some pictures, went in the building. Some of you don't know where Howie Circle's at. You ain't got a clue. God bless you. You don't have to know where Howie Circle is. But let me tell you this, you wouldn't be in this building tonight without Howie Circle. It's your history. And to our amazement, when we got over there, the doors of the church were opened. And that's where I was attending that church when I received the Holy Ghost. That's where my brother received the Holy Ghost, down in the basement of that little church. And I tell him, Brother Ames, how he got the Holy Ghost down in a prayer meeting, and the men carried him out speaking in tongues out of that basement down there in a prayer meeting. It's there. I took a picture today. Here's the amazing thing. After 30 some odd years, 40 years, the original pews are still in that building that were there when I attended. And the carpet is the same. And the PA was the same. And I said, look how this place has not moved, but look where you are. Yeah. And I stepped back three rows to the pews and I said, right there is where God called me to preach. And Brother Adams took a picture of me pointing at that spot on the floor. It was right there that God called me to preach. I'm telling you, this church has broken into unprecedented profile, significance. People are receiving the Holy Ghost that you thought never would receive the Holy Ghost. People are coming to this church that you thought never would come to this church. Prestigious people, poor people, all races, multicultural, are coming to this church. We are in the greatest day of blessing we have ever known. But at the same time, it's become a great concern of mine that while evangelism is increasing, revival is decreasing. So I'm going to make a big issue tonight out of the difference of evangelism and revival. The first thing I want to tell you is that they are not the same. And I believe it's more than semantics, as I will show you tonight. And most of us don't even begin to peer into it and perceive what a major difference there is in evangelism and there is in revival. And I know that we don't get the picture because the mass majority of us use the word incorrectly. Stay with me now. We'll say, man, we had 10 to receive the Holy Ghost this weekend. Did we forever have revival? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, 10 new people receiving the Holy Ghost is not revival. 10 new people receiving the Holy Ghost is evangelism. Evangelism is what happens in lost people. Revival is what happens in saved people. And it is my observation that while we are enjoying the greatest day of evangelism, we are in dire need of an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Because while there's a lot of change going on in sinners and in new converts, I'm not seeing much of that going on in old seasoned saints. See, I'm afraid where we are is likened until to the dream of Pharaoh. He said, I saw these ill, lean kine. That kind is cattle. And I saw these fat, well-fed kine. And he said, the lean ate up fat. But here's where we are. After they ate them, the Bible said you could not tell they had eaten them. It must never be said that we can come to great churches, hear wonderful preaching, feel the wind of Pentecost, brag on the move of God, and when we walk out, you can't tell we were ever there. We must not get carried away with charge and stand and cry for change. The depth of our move of God is not how fast the wind blew or how hot the fire was that fell. The real detection of it is what kind of change did it make in my life. When we pick up the bobby pins, put the shirt tails back in, and the lights go off. When we leave this church, somebody ought to say, they have been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus. This Sunday morning when you walk in here at whatever time you start church, 10, 10:30, I'm not sure, whenever you walk in here, those that didn't come to Passion Week ought to walk in this building and say, you look different. You act different. You must have been at Passion Week this week because something has happened to you. The Bible said that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion. Woo! I'm hoping that after your passion, come Sunday, you will show yourself alive. Alive in faith. Alive in love. Alive in dedication. Alive in consecration. Let me preach now. Alive in faithfulness. You see, after we have a series of services, it doesn't matter how many new people get the Holy Ghost. That's evangelism. We have not had revival unless it changes the church. We've just had evangelism, and we have become efficient, proficient, and mightily blessed of God in evangelism. But our whole United Pentecostal Church, Temple of Pentecost included, this man preaching to you tonight needs a revival. A revival. A revival. I've had the Holy Ghost since I was 13, and I'm 67 tonight. But I want to be just as wild, just as fiery, just as enthusiastic, just as joyful as I was the day I got the Holy Ghost. Follow me now. Evangelism is a sinner coming to an altar with tears streaming. Revival is a saint coming to an altar with tears streaming. Evangelism is a sinner receiving the Holy Ghost. Revival is a saint being renewed in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I wonder what kind of church y'all could have Sunday if everybody here that says you got the Holy Ghost could get it all over again tonight. If everybody here that confesses they've got the Holy Ghost would get it all over again tonight. Revival is not new people receiving the Holy Ghost. Revival is the old gray-headed saints of God receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Evangelism is the lost being charged and changed. But revival is the church being charged and changed. Evangelism is sinners being convicted, committed. Revival is saints becoming convicted and committed. I want to preach to you about something we've long since seemed to forget about. Every once in a while, if you've really got the Holy Ghost, it's going to convict you. Every once in a while, it's going to slap your wrist and it's going to say, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't look at that. Don't say that. Don't wear that. Don't be a part of that. If you've got the Holy Ghost in you, every once in a while, it's going to lead you, guide you, direct you. That is revival. When we have, I'm going to show you why we need revival. And I'm not just talking about here. Everybody say, not just talking about here. Not just talking about you. I'm talking about everywhere, and I'm talking about me. Because I'm asking God, will thou not revive us again? I've had the Holy Ghost all these years. I refuse to become a professional Pentecostal. I refuse for Pentecost to become my denomination. I refuse for Pentecost to become my tradition or my inherited tradition. I'm going to always want to be nobody that's new in God will outpraise me, outrun me, outdance me, get to church earlier than I do. Now, I'm going to mess with you just a little bit. I'm going to work on you a little bit. Passion Week. Boy, I'm so glad you let me preach Passion Week. Something I've noticed about Pentecost. The punishment for being late to church is you have to sit on the front. Because all the back seats are already taken. Can I preach to you right now? If this was a ball game, they'd be sitting right there. If this was a rock concert, those seats would be taken. If this was some kind of party somewhere, we went to Disney World years ago, and I'll hurry on. I know I'm taking some time here tonight, but we went to Disney World years ago, and we wanted to go to that electronic parade. And so we wanted a good seat to the electronic parade. So we got down there where it was going to take place 1 hour before the parade was to start. And we sit right on the curb thinking, boy, we got a good place for Christy. She's going to see this parade. We're going to see this parade. We sit there 1 hour. And after sitting there 1 hour, this guy comes in and goes like this. Come on, Holy Ghost, help me right now. I'm like, the idea of getting here 1 hour early is so we could be on the front.
That's right.
This guy don't respect me. He don't respect nobody. Well, I got my baby. He don't respect my baby. He don't respect my wife. He wants to be up there close where he can see Nikki. And he don't care whose feelings he hurts.
Right.
I ain't never seen anybody do that in church. I ain't never seen anybody say, I know this front row's full, but I think we need to start another row. And I'm going to get on up here just a little bit closer. He said, will you revive us so that your people once again will rejoice in you? We need a new baptism of the joy of the Lord. We need a new baptism of what it means to be saved. I'll miss this a little bit longer here. When we have full pews and empty prayer rooms, we need a revival. When we got more folks in the foyer talking to each other before church than we do in the prayer room talking to God, we need a revival. I'm gonna get rough right here. When the majority are spectators and the minority are worshipers, we need revival. Let us be reminded, these people that are on the platform tonight who did such a good job, they are not the worshipers. They are the leaders of worship. This is not a show for you to applaud them when they get through. Most churches I preach in, the worship goes three rows deep. About three rows. And if you sit farther back than that, you couldn't move them if Jesus walked up there himself. I'm talking about a revival. I'm talking about a revival. I'm talking about some of you that hadn't danced in a long time getting your dance back. Some of you that hadn't spoken tongues in a long time getting your tongues back. Some of you that hadn't run the aisles in a long time, get your aisle running back. Some of you that hadn't shouted need a revival to bring that back into your life. When it's easier to pray sinners through than Christians, we need a revival. When it makes you mad if somebody wants to bless you. I know y'all not gonna believe this, but I evangelized for years. And I'll never forget going to this one man in a revival. I laid my hand on his head, started praying for me. Take your hand and grab my arm right there and just throw it off. That's what he did. Now, he said he had the Holy Ghost. My wife's, she's of the same nature I am.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. Because I don't believe anybody's got the Holy Ghost would resist getting more. Ain't nobody what's got the Holy Ghost gonna get mad when somebody's trying to help you get some more. Now I found out after church what the problem was. He had a toupee and he's afraid I was gonna knock it off. And I think the best thing that could have happened to him was for his top knot to come off and to come down. Somebody need to shake his rug off his head and break that pride and break that egotism and cause him to get humble before God and get a brand new baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, folks. We don't need to be ashamed if we shout. We ought to be ashamed if we don't shout. Somebody shout, I want a revival. I want a revival. As some of you ain't shouting so long, this church don't think you can. They don't think you do. But I believe if we could bring up some films from the past, they'd enjoy seeing what you used to do. I'll talk about that in a moment. When our faith is little, our vision is small, our burden is light, and our passion is low, we need revival. I'm going to mess this a little bit more. Get a little more here. When saints play multiple church choice with the church's schedule of services, we need revival. Well, are we going to go Wednesday night or are we going to go Sunday morning? Hey, if the doors are open and you're having a revival in your spirit, you're going to want to be there. When kids ask their parents, are we going to church today? On Sunday morning, if your kids say, are we going to church today? You know, what? Are we breathing? Are we standing up? Are we able to put our clothes on? If I can get up and put my clothes on, there ain't no question about whether we're going to church or not, because revival will put in you, I was glad, not mad, but glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Does anybody know you can get in church what you can't get anywhere else? When there is a cooling of conviction towards sin, we need revival. It's so possible to erode our conviction. Every once in a while, we need the Holy Ghost to come back to us and say, what are you doing? What made you think that you could be comfortable doing that? You know you don't belong there, or you know you shouldn't be saying that. You know we don't do that. You need the Holy Ghost alive in your life that it will not let you go but so far. And then it will tell you, uh-uh. That's it. No, no. You got to remember who you are and what you have. And not only that, you need to remember where you're going. That this world is not your home. That we are still pilgrims and strangers, and we're just passing through here. We're on our way to a heavenly inheritance. And if we fit up there, we won't fit down here. And if we fit down here, we won't fit up there. I made up my mind, I want to fit up there, and I want to fit in here. After Nehemiah had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in a miraculous fashion in chapter 6 of his book, he was asked to come down to the plain of Ono. But Sanballat and Geshem had invited him. He promptly rejected that invitation. Basically, what Nehemiah said is, I am doing a great work, and I refuse to descend into, oh no. Every child of God needs to make up their mind, I'm not going to live in, oh no. I am doing a great work. Living for God is a great work. Being an apostolic Pentecostal is a great work. Being in church is a great work. Living for God is a great work. And I'm not going to come off this wall to get involved down in, oh no. We need revival. When the saints sigh with disgust, oh no, another revival. Oh no, another offering. Oh no, another call to prayer and worship. Oh no, another Bible study on faithfulness and holiness. I'm going to tell you, when the church is having revival, it's when you're not saying, oh no, but you're saying, oh yes. Oh yes. One more week of passion. Oh yes. One more revival. Oh yes. One more chance to give to missions. Oh yes. One more opportunity to teach a Bible study. Oh, am I preaching to an oh no church, or am I preaching to an oh yes church? I quickly move toward the conclusion, but our challenge tonight is this. We have got too many saints that, unlike Rice Krispies, they lay in the bottom of the bowl and soak up the milk when they should have a snap, crackle, and a pop. I'm saying every Holy Ghost filled child of God ought to have a snap, crackle, and a pop. When you come to church, you ought to bring a snap, crackle, and a pop. There ought to be a reaction where folks, you just go ahead and warn them. You sit by me if you want to, but if you don't give me room, you're going to get some elbows. You sit by me if you want to, but I'm going to tell you, my legs are going to get to moving. My arms are going to get to flailing. I didn't come here to look like a statue. I came here to be on fire for God. I used to preach youth camps years ago. I'm going to borrow one of my youth camp lines, and I will move quickly. You know, there was a time that the old folks condemned the young folks. I just wish our young people would praise God. I just wish our young people would run the aisles. I preached youth camp, and this is what I told them. The reason we've got so many teenage icicles is because the church is full of popsicles. Don't ever expect your kids to do what you won't do. And don't ever expect your kids to be what you won't be. Don't ever expect them to run to this altar if you won't come. Don't ever expect them to get out in the aisles and praise the Lord. One of the things I love in the temple, every once in a while, a dad will grab his son and they'll run the aisles. Or a mother will grab her daughter and they'll run their aisles. It's all right to teach them how to shoot a hoop, kill a deer, or play a game. But you need to teach them how to worship God. You need to teach them how to be a Pentecostal. Revival is what happens to the church. Evangelism is what happens to the sinner. And what I'm seeing is a whole lot of stuff going on with sinners, but not enough going on with the saints. We expect new people to change. But we learn a few things about God and put it in park. As though we've got it all down and we're just perfect seeing. Come and get me, Jesus. I'm ready to go. This place would blow up Sunday morning if you would take heed to my last point. The Bible talked about Isaiah seeing the glory of the Lord. And the Bible said it like this. It said, when he saw the glory of the Lord, that the smoke filled the temple. The New King James Version tells it like this. And the post of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Holy smoke. You know what filled the house with holy smoke? It was when the pillars moved. When the pillars of the temple moved, the house was filled with holy smoke. If we could just get the pillars of the assembly. Yeah, I know the new converts are going to run and we're all going to say, hey, that's sweet. Look at that. And bless their hearts. That is precious. It's like our baby's doing a little stuff. Look at that. Ain't that? Yeah, that's it. Don't that bless you? And everybody just smiles. Bless their little old new convert hearts. That's so sweet. That's so sweet. You know, Brother Elms, I heard you say something years ago and I borrowed it. And I want to remind these people tonight as I close. You know what? You know why we're still in the church and a lot of folks are not? Because they got saved and got over it. I got saved and I ain't never got over it. I'm still thrilled that when I repented, he forgave me. I'm still excited. When I got baptized, I was baptized in Jesus' name. I'm still excited that I didn't just shake hands with the preacher and the saints voted to let me in the body, but he filled me with the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. If we could get the pillars to move tonight, if we could get the pillars to move, the holy smoke would fill this tabernacle. Stand up and clap your hands right now. All right, listen to me. I ain't preaching now to the new converts. Years ago, I told the church in Raleigh, I said, if y'all are tired of me preaching to you, bring me some sinners and I'll leave you alone. You don't bring me some sinners, I'm gonna work on you. Boy, they started bringing the lost in. We had a revival. And evangelism. Because you know what, really? If you want evangelism, you need revival first. As a matter of fact, the formula for church growth is revival plus evangelism plus maturity equals church growth. That's what it takes. But what we're needing tonight is some of you, I'm not going to just really call you out, but if you've had the Holy Ghost 20 years, I'm preaching to you right now. I know you come in here and you say, boy, I wish these new converts would change. What are you changing? How long has it been since you added a conviction to your list? How long has it been since the Spirit told you, I want you to add this to your commitment? I want you to add this to your consecration. But we expect them to change when we could start a real uproar in this church and almost a feud and a fight if we had just make everybody move from where they're sitting right now to somewhere else. That's my seat. They go pray 30 minutes in the prayer room, talk in tongues, see angels, get messages in tongues, interpretation, while their Bible's laying on the chair, come out and start church, somebody new sitting in it, and all that's gone. Lost every bit of it. Mad, somebody sitting in their seat. While we're having great days of evangelism, we need personal revival. I'm gonna go to You know, you can just start picking up a few little things here. Little attachments, little barnacles of carnality attached to you little by little. Just pick this back up that you used to not do. Just start just doing this. You used to not do that. You would never think about that, but you just kind of pick this up, pick that up. We're talking about a revival that make you come back to an altar and say, God, I don't know how I got here, but I know this. I'm coming out. I'm sorry that I must have went blind and insensitive, but God, I want a revival. So if you've had the Holy Ghost for 20 years or more, while they come and sing, I want you to come to the front tonight. And if we get the pillars of this church to move, holy smoke will fill this sanctuary. If we can get the pillars of the assembly to move tonight, the holy smoke of God will fill this assembly. You that are new to this church, you that haven't had the Holy Ghost 20 years, place your hands this way and say, God bless these saints. God send revival. Reach over, lay a hand on somebody. Let's pray through tonight. Let's get a brand new baptism tonight. Let's get a brand new Holy Ghost touch tonight. Let's ask God to give us a revival. Revive me, Lord. Revive me, Lord. Revive me, Lord. Bring my joy back. Bring my love back. Bring my peace back. Bring my excitement back.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come join us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road at the corner of Shamrock Drive. Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Bible study Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Online, find us at firstchurchclt.com or like us on Facebook or Twitter. We hope to see you soon. Come worship with us.